The following is a conversation with His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on July 9, 1973, in London, England.
Simply for Krishna, then it's simply to understand Krishna. And anything else, Krishna can. But in Krishna's connection, there are varieties. Does it mean, although the dictaphone is there, still I shall write in my hand, Krishna consciousness cannot touch this. We don't follow this nonsense, brother. Unnecessary bhairava. Shushko bhairava. Dry is not.
Shushko bhairava?
Shushko. Shushko means dry. Oh, it is material, I shall not touch. Just like Jagadashri Ramakrishna. If anyone wanted to give him some money, no, he does not touch money. This is Ashish. Why shall he touch? Huh? Come on, you have got money. Don't tell him, sir. Spend. Yes, come on, I shall tell you. But Krishna, we haven't come to this house for living very comfortably in India. No. You have come here for Krishna's sake.
This point is revolutionary in spiritual circles.
Yes.
Thank you.
Because it is Krishna's property. It is not my property, neither God's property. It is His thing. Everything belongs to Krishna. So it must be utilized for Krishna.
Simply they don't know Bhagavad Gita.
Huh?
They don't know Bhagavad Gita, therefore they don't understand it.
No, therefore I say, all immediately, how you are all restless. We have got a test. Test you. As soon as one is not Krishna conscious, he is restless. He is mysterious. He is no subject. He has no knowledge. These are groups they belong to. No anujitana murha prabhadante nara. He may think that he is very big man, Nixon, but we know that he is rascal number one. This is Krishna consciousness. You can understand immediately what he is what. By this test, nama anujitana murha prabhadante nara. Maya apoyutamkya asuri bhava.
He said, if he's coming from God, then what difference does it make?
Difference is that you are a fool, God is not fool.
Yeah.
That is the difference. For God will speak, he will not speak foolish. Because he is above all this foolishness. But you are within the foolishness. That is the difference. Try to answer them like that. You are within the status of foolishness, maya. And God is above maya. If God is also within the maya, they are the lust and mayavadi said, then what is the use of God? We are everything.
They just accumulate knowledge just for knowledge. They just accumulate knowledge just for knowledge's sake. All these things, not just for knowledge, because they do not get any knowledge. They have no knowledge. What is the knowledge? They talk all nonsense. What is the knowledge? He's arguing was, well, there's no point in talking about this matter. All of us accept this. All these, he's saying, all big authorities. They accept this point of view that this was recently written literature.
No.
Then
you don't know who are authorities.
That's right.
You manufacture your own authority. You do not know. That is your misfortune. You do not know who is authority.
They all smoke cigarettes and they think they're authority.
Others.
Yeah,
and I met another old authority on Sanskrit, and he's sitting behind his desk, and his whole body is shaking.
No, I'm not interested in the spiritual side of these Vedas. I'm just interested in the Sanskrit. He's dying, you know, and still he's like that. That's their authority. You can't save them then.
Adhakti. Adhakti. They're called Adhakti. It's done. Adhakti.
I used to notice
that means one is interested in the body, not in the soul. He's a fool. This sculptor, he is simply interested in the outward body. He has no knowledge of the soul.
Yes.
And he wants to become a very famous man, remaining in the category of ashes. Because one who is in the body conscious of life, he is an ash. Go Kara. Kara means ash. So I am a gopara. Just sata buddhi kuna bhiti dhāt. Anyone who is in the bodily concept of life, he is no better than anyone. The cats and dogs, they are also in the bodily concept of life. So I am a gopara. So he has not advanced beyond these cats and dogs. Because he is in the same conception, I am this body. A dog cannot understand that you are not this body. So similarly, if a human being cannot understand that he is not this body, what is the difference between him and the dog? So Sāstra says, Saiva Gokara. He is no better than the cows and the asses. And actually, that's the fact. The first instruction of Bhagavad Gita, they cannot take it. And they call us, that is the most regrettable situation. That these fools and rascals under the bodily concept of life, they have become of it. Actually they are ashes.
Yes.
Yes.
I used to observe when I was going to the university that all my professors, their intellectual business was just a profession, like digging ditches.
Yes, sir. And for earning money.
For their pleasure, they're going home to drink beer and eat steak. That's all they're really interested in. And they're just working to make money. Yeah. I could see it. I didn't want to follow their footsteps. They had nothing
like to do. He's clinching the door for money. And they are going as profession. But the category is the same.
Mm-hmm.
You don't make any distinction between the sweeper and the professor.
Mm-hmm.
Or a hog and cat and dog. The hog is also working hard. All day and night for stew. Eating. But this man is also working like that. Beyond that he has no other knowledge.
The scientists, they have a term, psychologists, they call it an idiot savant. Idiot savant means he's an idiot, but he has one particular talent, and because of that talent he can get along. Just like sometimes you find an idiot, he can look at a column of figures, and he can compute the sum in his head very easily. But he can't even understand how to tie his shoes. And I think these scholars are like that. They're actually idiots, but they have one talent for Sanskrit or for history. And because of that they can get along, they can support their body. But otherwise they have no qualification.
Sudra.
Yeah.
Unless he gets that force, he will starve. He has got some talent in some particular subject, but he must get some service. By serving others, he will be able to utilize his talent and get some money, then he will. This is Sudra's business. Dog's business. Just like a dog, unless he has got a nice master, his position is very precarious. He's still dog. Nobody can, rather, there's a shortcut.
You put out in Srimad Bhagavatam that the great go to school and learn to become PhD, then they have to knock on the door for a job, and no one will open the door.
No vacancies, sir. So just like dog.
That they have a way to force them to work. The politicians force the scholars.
Yes.
If they don't print books, if they don't write a book every now and then and print it, get it published, they lose their tenure, their position as a professor. They must produce one book, then another book, then another book. If they don't finish, and this is when they're working all the time.
The Maharaj is in India. They don't educate their son, just like Billa. They say, we can purchase this Jaskan, so why is it waste our time? So-called technician, so-called expert computer, you know, we can purchase. Why we shall waste our time?
It's the same thing I learned in Germany. At first I wanted to get my own press.
Yes.
I studied the situation very carefully, and so it was ridiculous for us to do that. It's so much hard work. It's much easier to collect the money in the street by giving the magazine and then paying someone. They work very hard and do it. Everything is like that. Okay. There are so many people that can do everything. The one thing that people can't do is distribute Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
And for that, Krishna is giving so much money.
That much. Only for this purpose one should do.
Yeah. And that Krishna is saying.
You cannot purchase Krishna consciousness if you have money. That you have to cultivate.
Yeah, when Mr. Birla is getting old, then he has to come to us if he has any sense.
No, they say, they simply give primary education and initially. They can read that song and pass it. The concern, because everyone knows sending boys to the school will spoil. I have seen intelligent boys, they go to school and spoil. He learns how to smoke, how to use sex, how to talk nonsense, how to use knife, how to fight, beat people. Exactly, and depending on
it. Yes.
Simply, slaughter with so-called Hebrew called slaughter. Slaughter.
It was when I went to school, I was a nice little boy. Yes. In school I fell down. Only one
reason. He must have been intelligent. And so, time was wasted. So, our gurukul should be taken care of very nicely. So, nice preachers may come out. Brahma. Nice Brahma.
I'm still thinking about the other morning, we were talking about how everything is actually spirit. Everything is composed of spiritual atoms, actually, souls. And we say that, when we talk about the...
That is Vedic Bhasham. Sarvam Kharidam Brahma. Everything is Brahma.
When we speak about the transmigration of the soul, we speak about 8,400,000 species. Does that include the inanimate objects as well within those 8,400,000?
Avara. They are called sthavara, immovable. Even hills, mountains, stones, they are called sthavara. One which cannot move.
So actually we don't really...
Sthavara is a coincidence. 2 million types of sthavara.
So we don't actually discriminate between the tree and say the atom as a living entity.
Yeah.
Little by little, it's coming clear.
Sthavara. Sthavara means what cannot move, standing. Sagara Jangam. There are two kinds of living entities. One moving, one not moving.
But the atom is only the notion. The atoms and
molecules
are always constantly moving.
That movement is defined. That is not independent.
Then that said, that a stone has a living entity in it?
Yes. Actually, what we discussed is that every, even the elements, the atoms, everything is made of nothing but spirit souls in fallen conditions. Because everything comes from Brahma Jyoti, which is nothing but spirit souls.
Yeah.
And Brahma Jyoti, therefore, soul never changes. So this manifestation is from Brahma Jyoti. Therefore, it's made of souls. And there's nothing else but spirit souls. Yesterday, a few days ago, we discussed it.
It is simply covered by another energy, which is called material energy. And that is Maya. Maya means there is not action. Not factual. The example is given just like the sun is covered by the cloud. The cloud is nothing but another creation of sun. But when the cloud comes, sun is invisible. Similarly, this condition, forgetfulness, is my creation.
Mm.
And when I am covered by this forgetfulness, I become stones and atomic life.
In Bhagavad Gita says the soul is immovable. In the second chapter there's a verse that says the soul is immovable.
Yeah.
What does that mean exactly? Are we not moving? There's a verse that says immovable and
Sthanu. Immovable means fixed up.
I mean it's nature, isn't it? But I mean we are
unchangeable.
Unchangeable.
Not
that we are moving.
Might be that was done properly. Sthanu, the word is sthanu. That was asking what you mean. Sthanu. Rachalayam, achalayam, yes.
It's the point of all those.
That means achala, also. So, achala. Achala means that there is a move. Kānu rasalayam. You all want Gita. You can see. Now there is no time.
Start the class.
The following is a conversation between His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and Schoolmaster David Lawrence. Recorded July 9th, 1973, in London, England.
That is asked in Srimad Bhagavatam. Kumanam Masari Pragam Dharman Bhagavatam Ha Dullamam Manasam Janamam Tadapi Asubam Akat. From the very childhood, Kumara is the age. From 5 to 14 years. I think this is Kumara age.
Yes.
So, Prahlad Maharaj, you are a devotee when you are only 5 years old. And his father was a Krishna number one. So, there was great misunderstanding between the father and the son. The father was insisting the son that he give up his line of Krishna consciousness. You become politician, you have to control the kingdom and so on and so on. But he would not give up. This is the misunderstanding between the father and the son. So at the age of 5 years only, he was preaching. But how he was preaching? He was preaching because the father instructed the teacher. Just look about this one that he may not take to Krishna consciousness. Stick, that is my order. So teachers are not allowing him. But he was taking opportunity in the tiffin hour.
What?
Tiffin hour.
Tiffin hour.
Yes, recess. When the teacher's gone and students are free to go. So he was calling his class friend and others and just listening. So we call tiffin now in India. Because you take some tiffin in the school and you eat that during the So he was preaching that Kumarma, the other boys, they were insisting, Prahlada, why you are so much anxious about preaching Krishna consciousness? Let us play, if you don't have time to play. So, no, he said, no. This is the time to learn Krishna consciousness. Because you are teaching, that's all. That Kumarma age, from 5 years to 15 years, that is the right age for educating Krishna consciousness. That this is the word of He says that this human form of body is very rarely gotten, and it is a rare opportunity for having our Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness or God consciousness is there. In every human, especially civilized. So, it is not an artificial. Just like all my students, they are Europeans, Americans. 4 or 5 years ago, they did not know anything about Krishna. Neither they knew the name of Krishna. But now, we can see how they are absorbed in Krishna. So, it is not an artificial.
No.
If we had it been an artificial, they would not have been so serious. But it is a dormant consciousness. I have simply awakened. And I have to. Otherwise, that is the statement in Chaitanya Chaitanya, that everyone is Krishna conscious. Somewhere or other, it is now snubbed down, they are forgotten. But if the opportunity is given, then you can learn. So this movement is giving opportunity to arouse that dormant Krishna consciousness which is already there in them. So if you take that process and arouse this Krishna consciousness among the student, it will be great service to the humanity. As a teacher, you will give the greatest service.
Yes, I agree.
Kumbhara asana pragnam, the man pragnam. And this is the only opportunity of awakening our Krishna consciousness. So if we do not give that opportunity to the human being from the child, it is jealous. Jealousy means that you have got some opportunity. But if I do not allow you to take that opportunity, this is a jealous. So every human being has got the potential of awakening his God consciousness or Krishna consciousness in this human form of God. So if we do not give that opportunity, it is jealous. Therefore students must be educated. And if you are right in such nice book, I think he will be a great study of your nation and the human society. Thus, dullabhaṁ mādhusam janma, this human form of life, unfortunately people do not understand what is the distinction between this human form of life and animal form of life. Less than another.
Very often nothing, is it?
The only difference is that the human form of life, you can have a thing of Krishna consciousness. In the animal form, here we are sitting with all human form of life, gentlemen, civilized. I cannot call cats and dogs and sit here and to understand what is Krishna consciousness. That is not possible. Therefore, this opportunity should be given. This opportunity is living. And especially, you are English nation, a recognized great nation, respectful. You respected. Especially in India, we have a very good respect for Indian nation. We have connection for so many years. And the politician is quiet, otherwise we like the Buddhism back. Means unity of the human being all over the world. That can be revived again. That can be revived again. If you come to this Krishna consciousness moment, your pain comes to that. There is process. There is process. You can revive your Buddhism back. It is not story. If you people take little advice from me, I can help you. Yes, you are intelligent nation. So kindly do this service to the students and have from the dormant Krishna consciousness to be a great service. And we are meant for helping you all. So you can inquire, you are at liberty to come at any time and inquire on any question.
We're working predominantly with the older age group, of course, 14-15s.
Our Krishna consciousness movement is based directly on the instruction of Krishna. Our Krishna consciousness movement is nothing but to accept Krishna's instruction and
yes.
Krishna's instruction is open to everyone. Not only open to us, anyone, Bhagavad Gita. It is widely there's literature in the world. But unfortunately they have been misinterpreted.
Very interesting to read one of the very Western versions, that of Professor Zeiner of Oxford, and the one or two points of contention between yourself and other translators of the Bhagavad Gita. In fact, he nearly always went with you. Now, he's reckoned to be one of the foremost Western Sanskrit scholars. And he, every time, emphasized the devotional tone of your translation. Nearly every time. I was very impressed by that.
We talked with that Professor Zeiner, and he may come. He's quite sweet.
That is only interpretation. Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. He is plainly speaking that I am speaking to you, this Bhagavad Gita, because you are my devotee. Bhaktosi priyosi me. Rahasam jetav uttamam. The first condition to understand Bhagavad Gita is to become a devotee of Krishna. So in the Bhagavad Gita, the only talk is about devotion. There is no other talk. There are other talks, but they are subordinate. They are not principal talk. The principal talk is to understand Krishna through bhakti yoga. Bhakti amama vijanati javan jasyami tattva. You understand Sanskrit?
Yes,
I'm there. So, it says, one can understand me only through bhakti. He has spoken about jnana, yoga, karma, everything. But, if anyone wants to know Krishna, then he says, it is his direct order, bhaktya manolya, javana jasyami tattva. Tattva, in truth. But if anyone wants to know, that can be known through bhakti. No other.
I was very interested this last week to be reading a book which really was trying to defend Orthodox Christianity. And it was by a very devotional Christian writer. And he, in fact, was making exactly the same points as yourself about the God consciousness of Jesus. I read the Radhayatra magazine. And saw how, I think it was a nun had asked you about the position of Jesus on this, and you quite rightly said, well, of course, Jesus never claimed to be God. I do wish that some Christians would realize that. He was God conscious, wasn't he?
Yeah.
The the churches in this land seem to have forgotten that. He never claimed to be God.
No. How he can claim? He's a devotee of God. He's sacred from God. How can he claim? Of course, there is no difference between God and his sacred. That he says, Sakshadharitina samaskashastri ruttasthathabhavata. Because a devotee, like Lord Jesus Christ, being confidential, servant of God, there is no difference between God and himself. It's like any political representative or business representative. If he's a confidential representative, there's no difference between the king or the proprietor of the farm, so long he represents right. Similarly, anyone who represents God or the cause of God, is not different from God. We should offer respect to such person exactly like God. That is our instruction of the Acharya. Sakshad Haritena Samastha Shastri Rukta. In every shastra, the spiritual master is recognized as personally the supreme Lord. But why he is recognized? Kintu Prabhurja Priya Evatas, because he is the most dear servant of the Lord. That is natural. Suppose some representative or some farm comes and if I know that he is the most confidential, I must respect him very nicely so that he may be impressed and he may report. These people are very nice. So this is the ordinary etiquette. What to speak of the actual representative of God. Sakshadharitena samastha shastri rukta. Rukta means it is already said. Tatha bhavata eva sabhi. Those who are advanced in devotional service, they accept this principle. But why? Kintu prabhurja priya eva tasa. Because he is the most confidential servant. This is we pray to offer our prayers to our spiritual master. So it is very nice you are attempting. I'm very glad. So you can inquire from me anything. The first thing I shall request you, the first principle of Krishna consciousness or the first ABCD of spiritual education is to understand the constitutional position of the living entity. He is spirit soul. He is not this body. The spirit soul is living within this body. But the body is not the spirit soul. This thing must be understood very clearly. You know, in the Bhagavad Gita it said, Dehinasmin jatha dehi. Dehino. The proprietor of the body is within this body. Dehin asmin dehi jatha. And the body is changing. From childhood to boyhood, boyhood to youth, like that. So, when this body is useless, he is taken away. Tatha dehantaram prapti. This first education of spiritual life should be understood first. Then one can make progress. Then one can understand what is the constitution of God, what is our relationship with him. But so long we shall remain under the bodily concept of life, this subject matter will remain difficult.
There's one matter that I'd love to ask you about, which is I found personally difficulty, because perhaps I haven't had the Bhagavad Gita as it is as long as I should have done. Is to really feel that I've got to grips with the idea of a spiritual sky. I couldn't quite understand whether there was any form at all of symbolism coming into the idea of the various stages of planets and so on, or whether in fact this was a very physical.
Find out this verse. Parastasmat bhavanya. Why not call Pandit Mahasaya?
Brahmas.
Pandit Mahasaya. Yeah. We have got nice index in this book.
Yes, indeed.
You can find out in Bhagavad Gita. Parah tasmat tu ava anya bhaktya bhaktya samatana.
Parah tasmat tu ava anya bhaktya bhaktya samatana yasa sarishu bhuteshu nasyasu na vinaskati. Yet there is another nature which is eternal and is transcendental, which is manifested in unmanifested matter. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all in this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is.
That is spiritual world. This material world is created. The spiritual world is not created. It is eternal.
Yes.
No. So, we have given an idea of the picture. So, there is another nature which is called spiritual nature. Parastasmatmhava-anya-vara. That is also admitted by all the acharyas. There is Sankaracharya. Javan, of Sankrata. He also says, Narayana para abhaktya Narayana para. So, there is para. Para means superior. Narayana belongs to that superior nature. That means spiritual nature.
This is an annoying habit of the Western mind, you know, to think in spatial terms, and it's possibly hang-ups from Christian theology, in a sense, that I wanted to persist with this questioning even further about, you know, the real nature as far as the Bhagavad Gita gives it to us.
Now you have to become little free from the biased idea of Christian.
This is what I thought, yes.
Otherwise,
humility.
You have to come to the platform of general common sense.
Yes.
If you become biased, then you can make
yes.
Then you cannot make power. You have to come to the platform. Now, the common sense is that can you distinguish between matter and spirit? Can you distinguish? That's that I was speaking. The distinction between matter and spirit. The spirit is the vital force.
Yes.
All you call spirit, soul or atma. That you can distinguish. As soon as the vital force is off from this body, this body is a lump of matter. Therefore, even if you do not know the spirit soul, any sane man can guess that something is missing in this body. Therefore, this body is called death. Now, that something he described definitely is soul. So, we can distinguish between the spirit and soul somewhere or other. So, as there is material world, there must be some spiritual world. Otherwise, how the spirit is there? The spirit is there, the soul is there, that is spiritual. So two things we are experiencing, spirit and matter. So as we are experiencing this material world, so similarly there must be spiritual world. There must be spiritual world. Otherwise, what from the spirit comes?
Yes.
Now, this spirit is eternal. That is the first understanding. Tatha dehantaram prapti. This spirit is occupying a material body at the present moment. And the next, when this like, I am in this apartment. If I find some inconvenience, I go to another apartment. or belief is expired, I have to leave it. Somewhere or other, I change. Similarly, you can change your code. So, these are explained in the Bhagavad Gita.
Yes.
Vāśāṁsi jindāni yathābhihāya. Very nicely exemplified. So, we are changing this apartment or dress and accepting another. This is going on. This is material world. But I, the spirit soul, eternal, nitta sāsatayam nāhannati hannumāne sajīvī. Find out this verse. Na jāyati vīyati vā kadāchī. Na jāyati vīyati vā kadāchī. Second chapter. Everything is there in Bhagavad Gita. If you can introduce study some Bhagavad Gita among the students, it is great service.
I think it would be a great deal more popular than studies of the Bible.
Yes.
Because there isn't the
idea. Psychology, there is philosophy.
Yes, indeed.
Everything. And religion without philosophy is sentiment. And philosophy without religion is mental speculation. Yes. Two things must be common.
Yes.
And that is what we do.
The soul that is no proof of death?
I shall find out the verse.
Najayate.
Read it.
Najayate mriyate vakadachi.
Najayate mriyate vakadachi. Nayam putva bhavita vahuya. Ajo nityak sashvato yam purano gavanyate hanyamani shirire.
Yes. Now, read the meaning. Sanskrit.
For the soul there is never birth nor death.
This is the nature of the soul.
Nor having once been does he ever cease to be. He is unborn, eternal, ever existing, undying, and primable. He is not slain when the body is slain.
These things, first of all, must be understood. Immortality of the soul, transmigration of the soul. Then other things will be easy. And because this is eternal, therefore, there is another spiritual world which is also the same nature, eternal. That is explained. What is that part? Find out. First tasmātu bhāvanna sarveshu nasasu naminasu. The spiritual world existing eternally, this material world being annihilated, dissolved, that is not dissolved. Exactly, like this body being annihilated, the soul is not annihilated. Similarly, the material world, it is bhutta bhutta praliyate. It takes place at a certain death and it is annihilated at a certain death. Exactly like this body, anything material. It has got a death of creation and it has got a death of annihilation. But as the spirit soul is not annihilated, even after the annihilation of the body. Similarly, there is another spiritual world which is never annihilated, even after annihilation of this material. What is that?
Parastasmātu bhāvanyo vyakto vyaktāt sanātana yaksa sarveshu bhūteshu nasyatsu na vinasyati.
Sarveshu bhūteshu nasyatsu na vinasyati. What is the meaning?
Yet there is another nature which is eternal and is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all in this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is.
This matter which you are seeing, this is manifested. But there is material stock, unmanifested. Stock of water, stock of fire, stock of earth, layers. This universe is covered by different layers. And each layer is 10 times bigger than the other layer. That is unmanifested. That is unmanifested. That is therefore bhaktya bhaktya.
Yes.
This what we see, this is manifested. But the stock, just like from the stock of your and stone and lime and cement and brick, you make a skyscraper building manifest. And this talk is also there. Talk is also there. Similarly, this manifested material world is there. It is taken from the stock. The stock is a huge stock there is. We get information layer the inner. And penetrating all these layers, you have to go to the spiritual world. In the Bhagavad there is that Krishna took Arjuna his friend, penetrating the layers to the spiritual world. He took it. You have learned that in the Krishna book. You hear that?
Yes.
He could. So Arjuna was fortunate to go in this body, to go to the spiritual world and see it and come back again.
One other thing that interested me was the idea that Arjuna was in some way deliberately, if you like, deliberately misguided, planned almost to be misguided in the Bhagavad Gita. How does this...
He was purposefully misguided so that he could put question like a misguided man.
Yes.
And the right answer may come from Krishna.
Mm.
It is for our benefit. He is not misguided.
No.
But he played the part of misguided.
Yes, what we would say.
Yes. Just like a person is playing in the stage as a fool, but he may be very educated. But for the dramatic expression of thought, he might play as a fool. Similarly, Arjuna's position is, he cannot be misguided. He is personal friend of Krishna.
Yes.
He cannot be misguided.
But it was for our benefit.
But, and nobody can talk with Krishna also. Nobody is so qualified. So, somebody who talks with Krishna must be very qualified. But he is playing the part of a fool man. Otherwise, he is not misguided. He knows that.
One other point, again a practical point really, this one. This is about the nature of the book. I suggested early on that I hoped that I might get the cooperation of somebody like George Harrison. What would you think about this? Do you think with your knowledge of the young mind, particularly the young Western mind, that this might be a good means through to the young
people?
It is
not a question of Western mind, Eastern mind. Any sincere student will take to it.
No, I was thinking in terms of the Western mind with its culture more than of philosophy.
Western mind, I do not find any difference between Western mind and Eastern mind. Because so many Western mind is changed. Yes. There was no difficulty. Two plus two equal to four is to be understood by the Western mind and Eastern mind. You cannot say, because you are Western mind, you will say, no, two plus two equal to five. You cannot say that. So, there may be some influence of the culture, but that is superficial. When you speak the real truth, the science, and that is equally applicable to the Western mind and Eastern mind. There is no difference. If you speak the real truth, 2 plus 2 equals 4, mathematical calculation. Nobody will deny, either Western mind or Eastern mind. He must be reasonable.
Yes.
That's all.
That's it.
So we expect every human being rational. Eastern, Western, there is no difference.
As you see from my plans, really what we hope to do is to, if there is any cultural difference, to some extent eliminate that cultural difference.
The first thing is, therefore, you have to understand that I am not this body. The cultural difference is on account of this bodily conception of life.
Yes. Yes.
But if we transcend the position of our bodily concept of life, we come to the spiritual platform, so there is no difference.
The difference is irrelevant then.
Just like we are talking. We have got a core, I have no core. That does not make any difference. We are talking as gentlemen. The last time when I was in Calcutta, I was invited by the Indo-American Cultural Society, and they gave me the subject matter, East and West. So I thought, we don't find any such distinction, East and West, when we come to the spiritual path. This is called material.
We find when we're teaching, you know, really secular youngsters, that it's terribly difficult to get off this cultural veneer, you know.
Therefore, one has to understand first that I am not this body. That's it.
And you've got to believe the teacher. This is the big thing, isn't it? The teacher has got to be God-conscious. That so he believes that there is the God-conscious.
He must realize that he's not this body.
He
depends on body. But I'm engaged now in this body under certain conditions. So at least this time, this is called gyan. So long one is in the bodily concept of life, he is affected with so many things. So this bhakti yoga begins when one is purified from the bodily concept of life. Sarvapadhi minil muktam tat paratina nimur. Now these boys, they are coming from different nations, but they never think that one is Englishman, another is American, another is Indian, another is African. No, we don't think that.
No.
At least we have surpassed that stage.
If
we have not advanced in any other way, at least we are advanced in this respect.
Yes.
We don't consider on the bodily concept of what do you think?
Unfortunately, as we find, the youngsters that certainly that I teach have got such materialistic.
If you keep the students as English boys or American boys, then it will be different. Then the cultural question is.
Yes. We found that this year's course, it's the first year, has been tremendously helpful. We brought the boys, I can't think anybody was here, but we brought the boys up to the London Temple. And in the very place.
Yes.
And they were thrilled to bits. We had one or two who made the usual silly comments, you know, which you'd expect. But they were embarrassed, you know. Everything that came over, which was interesting, was that they found that all the devotees were very kind, very loving, and very sincere. This came from even the really the most secular of boys with a very, very low intelligence. He could see and perceive and understand that this was how it was.
That is our general certificate everywhere. In the Americans, they are surprised. They inquire, are you Americans?
Yes.
The priest also, he is surprised that they are our boys. They did not come to church, never cared for religion. And now they are after God, man after God. What is this?
Yes.
They said this.
Well, I think a lot of our boys could understand it, having been to a service, you know, attended Aarti, and they...
That is due to our strict following the principles. That is making them stout and strong.
Yes. This is surely it that... So many other movements as such, and sectarian groups have compromised so much, haven't they? They, if one goes past the average English church, which is these boys' experience of religion, they pass the biggest cars in the neighbourhood on a Sunday morning. This is what they see. And of course, when they came to the temple, they found people living out a lifestyle which, even though was so totally alien from their own, they could feel that it was worthwhile.
Yeah.
It's tremendous. In fact, one boy we found listening to the George Harrison record. You tell George this if you like. He was listening to the record quietly in the music room that we have at our school with the big speakers, you know, lots of noise. And he was reading these words. And he put the words down. And I was watching. Yes, living in the material world. And he sat there and he was praying. And I didn't interfere. And he came out of the room after having turned the record player off. I said, well, you know, what were you doing in there? And he said, this record has been a complete experience to me. And that if George would know that. It was tremendous. Really tremendous to see this happening. George's record is so devotional. You know, it's really beautiful.
I talked with him about the material world in his house. When?
Oh, last August, I think. Or July.
I went to his house, the Henley and the Daniels. He's a nice boy.
Yes.
His wife is also there. Betsy?
Betsy,
she's also devoted.
Pass that on, please, to George. He should be very excited, I think, about that. This is very good. I'd like to thank you very much for giving of your time.
You are welcome, because you are sincere students touching us. I'm prepared to help you.
I do hope that anything I produce will, you know, very adequately represent the movement. I'm going to give it to...
students, they will benefit, I think.
I hope so.
And it is the duty of the guardians to see that the children are actually spiritually benefited.
Mm.